And now let's go out to Hillsboro and join WSMI's Terry Tote. And Terry, a very special big event going on right now.
Indeed it is, Tim Mize. Thank you very much. We're here near the Hillsboro High School gym complex, near the junior high, near the Lions Club building, near the church, as the 5K fun run and walk for Grace Herschelman is about to get underway. They're going through some of the particulars and saying some thank yous right now. Just in front of me, there are literally hundreds of people lined up ready to participate in this fun run and walk in order to raise funds for INAD research, which is something that has been brought to our attention here in recent months by the Herschelman family, and we're just very, very pleased to be part of it. My good friend Tom Emery is alongside here this morning. We're going to be talking a little bit about some Carlinville football and the history of Carlinville football. Tom, good to see you, my friend.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Terry.
It's good to talk with you, and when it comes to history, Tom's our official history buff.
Whatever that's worth.
And as you can hear in the background, they're just about ready to get this thing started. And they're off. So the 5K fun run and walk for the for Grace Herschelman, a grace-filled journey, is underway here at Hillsboro. And just tons and tons of people participating. I tell you what, this is a politician's delight. You could shake hands for hours out here, Tom.
Terry, the throngs of people out here are unbelievable. Just huge crowds out here this morning.
Well, let's get to high school football. And, of course, week number two of the high school football season. And, as always, we start off with a chat with our good friend Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. Chad, thanks for joining us this morning. And here right off the bat, week number two, you had to do a little scrambling, a little changing direction as far as the makeup of the Cavalier football team. Tim, would you punch him in so I could hear?
Yeah, Chad, are you there right now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there we are. There we are. Chad, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing well. I was just saying that here we are in week number two, and you're kind of caught scrambling and rearranging some things. And tell us a little bit about the matchup against the Vandals last night. You knew this was going to be a heck of a battle anyway.
Well, I tell you what, a lot of credit goes to them. I watched them on film. I think, that their week one game was not a good indication of their football team, just like our week two game was not our indication of our football game. I knew it would be tough. Losing Adam was a loss for us, and we'd had some backup plans for him, but we weren't. They were obviously rushed. Those decisions were rushed when he got hurt. So, we had some turnovers in the first half. Didn't play some great defense, and that cost us when we turned the ball over and we gave up a couple big third downs that kind of swung the momentum for us a little bit, made it difficult for us in the second half to get it back up there. But we did hold them to 3 points. We just had a hole that we couldn't get out of.
And once you get down in a situation like that, it's just so difficult to come back, especially when you've had to basically rearrange things for your ball club.
Yeah, Chandler and Jarrett both did a great job. We kind of two-platooned a little bit there, and probably we'll do that again next week a little bit. We'll have to wait and see how the week goes there. But, we fixed some stuff at halftime, independent of those guys, which I thought was a good indication for our ball club. Holding them to 3 points. I think they only had 100 yards in the second half, that type of stuff. And, we've been down this road before. I told the kids maybe they not have personally, but it wasn't so long ago. I had 3-0 and 3 starts back-to-back. And that's called adversity, yeah. And that's called football. So, it's a long season. And, our goal's always been to get in the postseason, and that's a goal that's achievable for us. And with the conference, with all the wins and losses last night, I told the kids this morning at film, who knows? I mean, it looks pretty balanced all of a sudden, where maybe it didn't week preseason, and all of a sudden week two, the conference, we get Greenville gets knocked off and that sort of thing. Painter beats Roxana, Vandalia beats Cardinville, and all of a sudden we got a race going on. So, it's always a big week in the South Central.
And I guess there's really never a good time to have an injury, Chad, but if an injury occurs, probably when it did here, it's better to have it in week one, week two, than it is in week eight or week nine.
Well, Terry, I'm going to go along with that philosophy. How's that this morning?
Okay.
I tell you what, you're right. Obviously, if this is week eight or week nine and you're trying to get in the first round of the playoff where you're one and done, Obviously, the significance of that is huge. This hopefully 4 weeks from now is a blimp on the radar for us, and it's something we look back at and learn from, and those types of things. So, there are some great positive things that come out of that. I thought both quarterbacks came around, and once they had made their little mistakes and corks in the game, they came back and responded. I thought defensively we came back. I thought our special teams game was really good last night. And, we just came up short, and that's what happens in life sometimes. And as we told them, I said, get your head up. The sun's coming up in the morning, and we'll be at practice on Monday.
Hey, there's nothing like game experience, man. You just can't duplicate it.
No. And that's exactly right, Terry. You and I have talked about that for years about, what's appropriate, what isn't appropriate. So, it happens, and that's the most important thing.
So now your attention turns to the Greenville Comets. The Comets beaten last night by Southwestern, and you get the Comets at home next week. So preparation's already underway.
Yep, we watched some film this morning, from last year on them, and they're sitting there on a Monday thinking the same things we are. Well, they're a little shell shocked, I'm sure. They haven't been 1-1 in a while, so they're struggling like we are on this weekend. But I'm sure they'll have. Todd Hutchinson's a great coach, and they have a great coaching staff over there, and they'll pull it back together as well.
Well, Chad, we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us this morning. We're broadcasting from Hillsboro for the Grace Hirschelman 5K Fun Run and Walk, and we just had a tremendous start with hundreds and hundreds of people going by us, and I know that a lot of area folks have come out and support a lot of various endeavors, not only in Hillsboro but in Carlinville and all across the listening area, and I know that you can understand that this sort of stuff is important to the community, and you yourself have been involved in things like this.
Yeah, I talked to Aaron Duff about that over there. He said it's going to be a big day just for the community, and so we're getting the grill fired up. We got home JFL against Litchfield today, so we got four more games of football. So, as I said, the past is in the past. Let's look on to the future. So it'll be a good day.
It's a good day to hydrate, buddy.
That's correct, Terry. Thanks a lot this morning. I appreciate it.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. Cavaliers dropped the game to Vandalia last night, 27-18. Dave Jenkins of our staff has joined us. Dave, if you want to grab that microphone there for just a second, and I guess let's go over the scores quickly here. Vandalia 27, Carlinville 18. Southwestern beat Greenville 52-44. In a game we had on the Ox last night, Gillespie beat Litchfield 27-14. Toppers off to a 2-0 start. Toppers pounded on Staunton 49-6, and Pena beat Roxana in the South Central 27-6. I don't know that there's any surprises there.
No. I guess one surprise would be the way that Gillespie beat Litchfield, and I say that because the way they scored the go-ahead touchdown, they had a 99-yard drive to go ahead. Neither team scored in the third quarter, but the Gillespie started out at the end of the third quarter with the ball, and they took it 99 yards and ran a lot of clock, and it just seems like a Don DeBrino drive.
Yeah, typical Don DeBrino thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Pound the ball
up the middle. So, in some Sangamo Conference scores, North Mac, Panthers go to 2-0.
Yep.
They pounded on Pittsfield last night 41-0. Plains beat Auburn 27-26. Trojans off to a 0-2 start. Athens over Riverton 28-22. And New Berlin beat Porter 34-6. That Auburn-Athens game next week, week number 3 on WSMI-FM.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's going to be a big-time game, buddy.
It is. I believe Athens is 2-0 now, mm-hmm. and Auburn, of course, 0-2. And it's not an indictment on Auburn this season. They're still a very good team. It just shows how good the top of the Sangamo Conference is. And Pleasant Plains, coming off a playoff berth last year, edged out by Carlinville. This year, they're looking to make a step further.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking with more coaches throughout the program. But our buddy Tom Emery is with us today. And, Tom, you had a unique opportunity come your way. And in the past, there's been a publication put together on the history of Carlinville football, the Cavalier football program. And that took it up to about, 1978, something like that. And you were asked to fill in the blanks, basically, from that point on.
You know, I've researched local sports history for several years and had several people come up to me and say, well, we need to do something from 1979 on. And I got kind of thinking about it, and I thought, well, that would be a productive thing to do. As you know, I cut my teeth in sports writing and the way I am with history, so this is a pretty easy it was a pretty easy project laid out in front of me. I've created a booklet on the history of Carnival football from 1979 to 2014 that lists every score, including date, opponent, site of game, every player, brief listing of season highlights, a very concise history of Carnival football, not intended to upstage what Mr. McLaughlin did in 1978. Sure. It's a supplement at best. It's not a revision or improvement in any way, certainly. But just a upfront, concise history of the Carnival football program over the last 36 years that I think is intended to be easy and quick for people to read and affordable.
And I've been able to have a sneak peek at your copy. And of course, 78 was the year I started at WSMI. So I'm looking back through, and I'm seeing these names, and I'm going, oh my God. Oh, yes, I remember this. It's absolutely fantastic to go through and see some of these names and review the history of the Cavalier program.
Well, high school football means so much to so many people, certainly in this area, and Carnival is a good example of that. It's intended to be a family keepsake, a memory book, you might say, something for people to remember the high school careers by.
Yeah. We're talking with Tom Emery, a Sports Saturday program coming to you from Hillsboro today. We are part of the Grace Herschelman 5K Fun Run and Walk, raising money for INAD research. Of course, all the money that gets raised goes into a research program at Washington University right here, basically in our backyard. And, you know, the community has, I don't know about you, Dave Jenkins, but when you see all the athletic teams around the area, the community support that Grace has gotten in the research here, this is just another huge step in the direction of raising some money for research. And you really feel like, you know, there's a good chance at Washington University, the brilliant minds at WashU are going to come up with something.
Sure, and I believe coming up there will be a volleyball match high school. I think Lincolnwood is involved. Yeah. I don't know who the other team is, but there's going to be a Volley for Grace matchup coming up for Grace Herschelman as well. So, yeah, the community, you know, basically around Montgomery County, at least in Montgomery County, has been great, not to mention basically around the state and the area. Also globally too, because I understand this is going on not just here but around the world.
That's right. There's it's not just a local thing. This is a worldwide type event. So this is a pretty impressive thing, and some of the first finishers are now coming through the finishing the spot here where the purple balloons are located. And we hope to have a chance to talk with Kyle and Mary Herschelman and maybe John Gaylor here in just a little bit. This is Sports Saturday coming to you live from Hillsboro at the 5K Fun Run and Walk for Grace Herschelman. The race is underway, and a lot of people are milling around, and we'll continue with WSMI Sports Saturday right after these messages.
Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, we've got high school football this afternoon. Nokomis entertaining Seneca, live coverage at 1:30 here on FM 106. We'll stream it online at WSMIRadio.com. And then we'll follow it up with the Illini football broadcast against Kent State. They tried to play last night. They got basically lightninged out last evening. They waited a long time before they called it off. So we will have the broadcast for you at around 4:30. It will follow our high school football coverage here on FM 106. And Cardinal baseball today on AM 1540. Big series hosting the Pirates. Redbirds lost last night handily. Back at it today live at 2:10 on WSMI AM 1540. Back out we go to the Grace Herschelman Benefit Run and Walk at Hillsboro High School. And we join Terry Tote, David Jenkins, and Tom Emery.
Okay, Tim Mice, thank you very much, and we are pleased to be joined by John Gaylor. And John, can you imagine this turnout has been terrific today for this event?
It is just spectacular, Terry. I think we kind of geared for about 400, and it kept going on the red. That's what we hoped for, our magic dreams.
Yeah.
We get 400, and I think we're over 720 or 730, and that was before this morning's registration. I haven't done totals, and see, I was over the tent, but we haven't got total up
on yet. Wouldn't shock me if you had 1,000 here.
I don't know. I have no idea, but it's just spectacular. And, you know, it's just, you know, I've grown up here in Hillsboro, and my whole life, this part of the county and this part of the world, people get behind organizations and groups that there's issues with need. My favorite story is the hospital years ago. In 74, the state fire marshal said the old hospital had to close, didn't meet any type of codes. And they put a drive on. They raised $3.4 million in a year and a half. They put a new hospital up. And that was just community people. I mean, it was just no government, just us doing stuff. And, you know, it's just tremendous that the people want to come back and help my granddaughter and the family, and it's just beyond special. I can't put enough words to it.
And when Uncle Ralph was around, and we used to talk all the time on the sports show and on the Wednesday talk show, here you have Montgomery County, a county that high in unemployment, doesn't rank very high as far as, you know, finances is concerned, but when the cause is there, it's unbelievable the turnout that we have from the citizens of this county.
Yeah, it's just the best. I mean, that's what I love about this world. It's the people that we live with around here, and everybody cares, and everybody knows their neighbors. You know, I got friends that live in big cities, and I don't think they know as many people. They know a lot of, they got a good life, but I mean, you live here in Hillsboro and in this part of the world, and you know everybody, and it's just, and it's good. It's a good thing, you know, and everybody comes together on the times of need. Everybody comes together, and it's special. It really is.
We're broadcasting from the Grace-Filled Journey for Grace Herschelman, the fun run and walk, which we're getting a few of the early participants crossing the finishing line right now. John, you've had contact with people not only across, you know, mid-Illinois, the state, the country, but around the world. What do people think when you tell them about this sort of event? When you share with somebody, you know, a half a world away?
I think they find it unbelievable. I really do. That's why I think it's special here, that people don't, it's not that this is unusual or out of the ordinary, but maybe it's just handled in different ways other places. But nobody can believe that we can come together like this and raise money like this. MCCA is another one. The fact that they can raise a couple $100,000 is just beyond belief. I mean, it, you know, like you said, county of 30,000 people. How's it done? It's just because people give a hoot. They care about everybody else, and you know, and I think one thing that people do here too is that they're honest. I mean, they don't. You know, if you got something's hard to deal with, you don't. You just don't hold it in. You know, when we first got the news on Gracie, it was before Thanksgiving last year, and you know, it was like, well, what do we do? And you know, you didn't even want to talk about it, and you didn't even know what to say with it. And then once it kind of got out, it's like the support of everybody was just, you know, beyond incredible. Christmas time, we got these, we call them bracelets, they're little purple rubber bands, and that was, I wanted to do something, Susie and I did, Johnny ordered them for us, and I didn't think of them as a fundraiser, we thought them like a support group or like a prayer group kind of thing, we just wanted to pass, have something for the kids to pass out, us to pass out, so it was a little Christmas present we did for the family, and the first time you start passing them up, people start giving you money, and I couldn't believe it, no, we don't want that, no, we want you to do something, well, we've ordered several thousand of these things now, and they're out.
It's, and you're going to keep ordering them.
It's amazing. Yeah. I go to press meetings and stuff with the LA Press, and you know, there's a lot of people that got these little purple bracelets, and you know, it's a pretty cool deal.
And John, as far as the family's concerned, and when you did learn about Grace's condition, it's a process, isn't it? To take the family through.
Oh yeah, it's just not easy. I mean, it hits you hard, and. And there's always the whys, and it's not fair, and all the other type of stuff. But, and that's just honest emotions. Yeah. But you just, you know, the whole thing is, it's a very strong family. We I think we got some oomph to us, and you just keep caring each other and work your way through it.
And when you look here today, you've got Hillsboro, Litchfield, Raymond, Harville, Morrisonville. You've got surrounding towns.
Oh, yeah.
You got people from all over the area, and they know it's a good cause, and they say, we're going. Yeah. We're showing up.
I know. I try to go to some of them. There's been fundraisers everywhere. I was at a Morrisonville-Raymond baseball game back in the spring, and they had a fundraiser thing. It was throwing ping pong balls out on the thing, and I won, which I really shouldn't have been doing. It was a 50-50 thing, but I gave the money back in for the INAD. So, you know, it's amazing. I think it's Raymond Lincolnwood soccer team came down in mass today to walk in the race too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, but we've had stuff with the high school, the Hillsboro High School, the basketball team, all the high schools, every high school in the county has done something.
And even high schools in Macoupin County.
Macoupin County, precisely. Yeah. No, it's amazing. It's just, I don't know. It just shows you how the family kind of interacts and has friends here and there and everywhere else throughout the whole system here.
And it's a great example of humanity when there's some suffering, some troubled times, humanity steps up and surrounds each other with their arms literally and say, hey, we're going to hang in there and we're going
to
do
to help. Yeah, precisely.
And do that together. John, thanks for coming
by. Thank you very
much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I'm glad you're here. I always like Saturday Sports Show.
Thanks. Thank you so much, John Gaylor. And we are broadcasting from the Grace-Filled Journey here at Hillsboro. We are close to the Lions Club between the junior high and the high school. I'd say probably close to 1,000 people participating today in this thing.
Absolutely. The number of people when I was driving up today could not get over how many people are here. This is really fantastic in Hillsboro.
Thank God for the Lincolnwood soccer team. They carried all this junk over here for me. I said, hey, I'm an old man. You guys are young pups. You grab a hold of this stuff. And so they did. They.
Well, you pretty much own Montgomery County.
Oh, no,
Terry?
No. I'm not afraid to ask, Tom. That's all. I'm not afraid to ask.
Folks, he's a rock star of Montgomery County, whether you believe it or not.
No. Hey, we're talking high school football as well here on this Saturday morning on Sports Saturday. We do a little sports once in a while on Sports Saturday.
You think?
We do have a few other scores I'd like to get to here this morning. A non-conference play last night, Sullivan defeated Mount Olive 42-0. And just a little bit of history, by the way, today is my 40th anniversary of broadcasting professionally, and the first game I did was Sullivan at Shelbyville 40 years ago today.
Congratulations.
So it was hotter than blazes, and I remember dressing up, you know, in a nice pair of pants and a jacket and everything, and I quickly found out you don't wear that stuff to a high school football game.
No.
Not even Sullivan, which is a very nice town.
Well, actually, it was at Shelbyville.
Shelbyville's all right, too.
Yeah.
Very nice area.
But
where
I'm going, you know, blue jeans will be fine. So we just kind of roll with the punches from that. Anyway, Sullivan beat Mount Olive 42-0. Bunker Hill over Macon Meridian 30-13. Pawnee beat Cerro Gordo 22-20. South Fork loses to Warrensburg Latham 48-6. Some other scores. Williamsville gets by Breeze Modern Day 35-34. Williamsville, another incredible program.
That's a heck of a, you know, your one non-conference matchup in the regular season. That's a heck of a matchup for Williamsville.
Oh, by the way, we've got Breeze Modern Day on the schedule for the non-conference game. Oh, really?
Well, and that's one of those, that's a situation where, you know, you only get one non-conference game, and obviously they didn't schedule a cupcake to say, they went out and got probably one of the best in the area. So
Williamsville with a one-point win there. Centralia beat East Alton Wood River 44-16. It was Calhoun 30, Beardstown 18. Brown County over Pleasant Hill 20-2. Triopia beat North Green 28-12. West Central was a 49-20 winner over Jacksonville Route. Quincy Notre Dame beat Alton Marquette 35-7 and Camp Point Central over Greenfield Northwestern 33-32. By the way, we've got football coming up this afternoon here on WSMI FM 106. It's a double dip is what we are going to call it, a twin bill. We're going to have Seneca at Nokomis High School football. Dave Jenkins with the tailgate pregame show at 1:30 this afternoon, kickoff at 2 o'clock. Tim Mize, Carl DeBar will have the call here on FM 106. Then we will follow that up with the Illini broadcast. The Illini last night, weather problems, lightning. They have protocols in the college level, much like the IHSA, where if you have lightning and threatening weather, you got to shut it down. And after about 2 hours or so, they shut it down last night, reschedule it for this afternoon. They're going to play at 1, but we'll have the broadcast after Nokomis, the Nokomis broadcast, or a high school game. Our high school broadcast will take precedence today, and then we'll follow that up with
they,
the
They never
Illini.
Even got that game started last night.
No, they can't. I turned it on. I'm going, okay, what's going on here, you know? What's going on here?
Yeah, while I was producing the high school game, I was on the Illini Twitter feed just trying to check, and is there any start time? Nope. Every tweet, you know, every, like, 30 minutes or so, you know, we're going to try and get this game in. Well, no.
Joining us on the line right now, Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. Shane, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How we doing?
Doing terrific. Congratulations. Another big win for the Panthers last night.
It was. Any win you can get in the Sangamo is a good thing, and we started off a little slow, but we ended up pulling it off in the end, so it worked out well for us.
What kind of a ball club does Pittsfield have this year?
Pittsfield is very, very big and very, very physical. They were somebody that we watched on film, and we were a little concerned because if there is a team in the conference that I think kind of matches us size-wise, they were pretty close to that. I think eventually with the heat and with our numbers, I think eventually we just kind of wore them down a little bit. We got some adjustments made at halftime, and the second half we kind of owned. So.
And it's always a game of adjustments, Shane, at halftime. And, you know, the better coaches, the better programs always are able to make the adjustments at halftime. What did you tweak at halftime for the Panthers last night?
Well, there was a couple different things. Obviously, once we kind of figured out what they were doing, what we saw on film from them wasn't exactly what we were getting. So there was some adjustment times. Any time that you prepare for something an entire week and then you see something totally different, there is a time for an adjustment period there a little bit. We got them refocused again on what we want to accomplish this year. And the other thing was, as a coaching staff, we put a little stricter guidelines on grades. So we had about five starters out that weren't getting it done in the classroom to our expectations, so they set out that first half. And once we got that taken care of, I think we opened some eyes with that a little bit, and they got to come in fresh and in the positions where they're used to playing. I think that made a bit of a difference.
So, Shane, when they showed up and they were doing something different, was there just a skosh of panic that went through your body?
Well, it's not something, you know, we run a zone blocking scheme, so it's not really a situation where, you know, we're not picking up this guy or that guy. It was just a situation where men were in different spots than what we expected them to be. So luckily we were able to communicate that, you know, at the half, the linemen were able to kind of get things straightened out, and from there we pretty well settled in.
So you come up with a 41-0 win over the Pittsfield Saukies last night, and now you prepare for the Williamsville Bullets, and you know that's going to be a toughie.
Absolutely. You know, anytime, you know, we're getting ready for the same old gauntlet. We've got Williamsville this week and Auburn the following week and Pleasant Plains the next week. So there definitely are no easy wins in the Sangamo. We've got Williamsville coming off a huge win on a, you know, against a squad that's a class higher than them, and they squeaked out a one-point win. So any team coached by, you know, Coach Coons is going to be well-disciplined. They're very, very good at what they do, and it's going to be a situation where we're going to have to start out much faster than what we did. And we're going to have to play an entire game then, rather than just the half that we played this past Friday.
And Shane, you've got three huge games coming up in a row. Is there a tendency for kids sometimes to say, okay, well, if we win these three, and they don't actually look at them one at a time, is that a tendency you have to fight?
I don't think so, for the simple fact that Williamsville has beaten everybody so much that
yeah.
I don't think there's going to be any tendency for us to look forward. I think that, you know, the bigger challenge is going to be, regardless of the, you know, the outcome Friday, you know, if we were able to knock off Williamsville, not to have that big letdown, or if we, you know, if we happen to fall to Williamsville, that we don't lose all our focus on just one game. So I think the big challenge is going to be to our staff to make sure, you know, regardless of what happens, that our kids are focused, and we do just take one week at a time.
Well, Panther fans are smiling from ear to ear this morning on a big win last night against Pittsfield, 41-0. Shane Owsley, thanks for joining us. We always appreciate it, and we'll be seeing you guys here in a couple, 3 weeks when the Cardinals of Pleasant Plains come to town. We'll have that for you on WSMI FM 106.
It sounds great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
See you, Shane.
There you go. Shane Owsley from North Mac High School, and I tell you what, the Panthers off to a terrific start.
He's off to a good start in his head coaching career at North Mac, too.
Yeah, he took over this year, and of course he's had coaching experience at Northwestern High School.
Former Northwestern coach in 2003 and 2004, led the Wildcats to their last playoff appearance as a standalone
Their
program.
Only playoff appearance, wasn't it, or
the second one.
Second one, okay.
Second one recent years, they made 99-03. Shane was coach in 2003.
Okay.
Got beat at home by Cerro Gordo, which lost to Pawnee last night.
The Broncos of Cerro Gordo. All right. This is Sports Saturday. We're coming to you from a grace-filled journey, the 5K fun run and walk here in Hillsboro, raising money for INAD Research in the name of Grace Herschelman, our good friends Kyle and Mary Herschelman and Grace Herschelman. We're glad to be part of the broadcast here today. We're going to be talking with some more coaches, talking with some more friends of Grace Herschelman and the Herschelman family, but we need to get to a break. Sports Saturday rolls on right after these messages.
Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, let's return to Hillsboro High School and the grace-filled journey with WSMI's Terry Tote, David Jenkins, and Tom Emery.
Yes, thank you very much, Tim Mize. And Tim will be busy this afternoon with Carl DeBar. He'll be at Nokomis High School, where Nokomis entertained Seneca in a high school football non-conference matchup this afternoon. This will be a tough game, and a toughie for Nokomis this afternoon. 1:30 pregame with the tailgate pregame show with Dave Jenkins. 2 o'clock the kickoff. We'll have it for you live right here on WSMI FM 106. And, of course, we'll follow that up with the Illini broadcast. We also have on the line with us Aaron Fricke, the head coach of the Southwestern Piasaw Birds. The Birds, envious this morning. Everybody else in the South Central Conference, with the exception of Greenville, very envious of the Birds. The Birds knocked off the Greenville Comets last night, 52-44. Aaron, congratulations, and boy, isn't that a feather in your cap.
I tell you what, it's still setting in. We're still a little bit in shock over here, but great win, awesome game. We're still so excited.
And you always go in with the thought, we're going to win the ball game. You know, you have to go in as a coaching staff and as a group of athletes. We're going to have our chance to win this ball game. What did the Birds do last night to capture the win that maybe they haven't done in the past?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, every week you tell the kids, you know, we got a shot, we can win this game. If you'd have told me that it was going to go the way it did, I'd have said you're crazy. But, you know, just focus, execution, just the little details. We knew if we could come out and get a score first and put some points on the board, you know, it would show everybody that we do have a chance and kind of keep that confidence up. And went into halftime with a big lead, and, you know, they just kept the kids with that momentum, and things just kind of rolled from there.
My God, 96 points on the board between two teams. Oh, you had a shot clock going or something, didn't you?
I know. At halftime, we had only given up 6 points, and, you know, with their offense and their program, you knew that it was coming. You knew the wave of points was coming and the run would be there. And, yeah, that many points. The game took forever. I think we had over 190 plays in the game last night, which is ridiculous. So, yeah, a lot of offense, that's for sure.
In other words, you earned your money last night, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and still, Greenville is still Greenville. I mean, they're a terrific ball club.
I tell you what, they've got a couple running backs, some real big boys in the backfield that, I mean, they were able to run the ball pretty much at will. And yeah, I mean, they're still very, very good. I think they're still trying to figure out, you know, who they want to be, and they've got a lot of guys in new places. But, I mean, they're not down by any means. I mean, they're offensively, they can still do whatever they want. So it was just a great all-around game.
And, Aaron, I guess a lot of ways, maybe the building blocks for this win last night were laid last year.
Yep, absolutely. You know, these are the kind of games last year where, you know, I think we were overwhelmed by teams we didn't expect to ever win. And now we're starting to get some confidence and see, you know, if you put together a good game for 4 quarters in this conference, you'll have a shot every week. I mean, there will be no easy game, but, you know, you can keep yourselves in it by just executing and staying focused.
And now you have to prepare for the Litchfield Purple Panthers, I believe, next week. And even though the Panthers' record is not indicative of how well they've played, you cannot take them for granted.
No, and there's a lot of things that we try to do defensively this week that we saw Litchfield do last week on film, and they gave Greenville a pretty good run there for a while. So, you know, I think they're a lot better this year, and they've certainly got some athletes. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's every single week we know that it could be a battle just like that. So you can't afford to really make any mistakes, that's for sure.
Aaron, when you have a win like this over a program like Greenville, one of two things generally happens. Generally, you point to this contest as a group of players and a team and say, hey, you know, we can compete at this level. We're going to be able to compete at this level, and this helps propel you the rest of the way. Other times, you look at this and go, well, look, we beat Greenville, and then you try to live on those laurels and you fall flat on your face. So, there, you know, you have to kind of watch out, you know, and put things in perspective.
And we had film up here this morning, and we told the kids, you know, when the clock hits 12 tonight, it's over, it's on to Litchfield, and it's a great win, but, you know, and we haven't beat them since 1999. Community's excited, but if we don't keep it going, it will mean nothing. And so we're really trying to stress that. You know, we want to enjoy it for a little bit today, but as soon as tomorrow starts, it's on to the next game.
Aaron, congratulations. A good win for the Birds last night, 52-44 over the Greenville Comets, and we look forward to chatting with you down the line. Good luck, my friend.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Aaron Fricke, the coach of the Birds of Southwestern, who defeated the Greenville Comets last night. And you know, Greenville's domination is just unprecedented in the conference. And to beat a Greenville team, I don't care who's on the team, to beat a Greenville program.
Greenville's won the conference, what, 8 straight years?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to share the title. That is a remarkable run.
Yeah,
unprecedented in South Central Conference history.
It is.
And, guys, I didn't look it up, but outside of Carlinville and Pena, I don't know the last team in the South Central to beat Greenville.
I don't either. And that would be something Tom Emery would probably have to look up since he's the historian. But we will probably find out. We can go back in the records and check this pretty soon. Who was the last team to beat Greenville in the conference prior to Southwestern's win last night? I don't know.
I know Carnival had their – finally got revenge 59-14 on Green. Remember the 2 years?
Oh, that's
the,
true.
The
that's switch true. That was it. That was probably wins. It. The shellacking.
Yeah. Folks, I'm not saying it was, but it would have to be one of the last ones, certainly.
Yeah. That probably correct. So, but to Aaron Fricke and, you know, the Birds, what a huge win for the Birds last night.
Well, yeah, and a great start to Aaron Fricke's career too. Last year he went 3-6 with the Birds, and this year he's off to a pretty good start. 1-1, was in the game with Hillsboro last week. They got down early but came back, took a lead, and then Hillsboro outlasted them. But, I mean, you can't count out Southwestern each year. And it just, I mean, we find out from last night's game, the South Central, who knows what it's going to be like the rest of the season.
I don't know. I think it's kind of exciting, Jack, personally.
Exciting. It's very exciting.
You know, you're probably going to have four or five teams that's going to make the playoffs, but you name those teams right now, you're a smarter man than I.
Every year it's been, you know, okay, Greenville, Carlinville are going to be in the postseason. Who else is going to be in the South Central? Well, you know, they're probably likely Greenville, Carlinville will be back, but who knows if they're going to win the conference or if anyone else is going to win it this year. It's really a mystery at this point.
We're broadcasting from the Grace-filled Journey for Grace Herschelman, the 5K fun run and walk in order to raise funds for INAD research. Of course, all the funds raised will go to research at Washington University in St. Louis for research into this this affliction, and a terrific turnout. They planned for 400. I bet they've got close to 1,000 here. That's turned out today. Plus a lot of other activities going on. There's cupcakes at the Lions Club. There's food all over the place, and it's just a great atmosphere. And boy, what a nice day. Mother Nature has treated us. It's a little warm, but Mother Nature has treated us to a terrific day.
You're concerned we had such poor weather this summer, without question. Going to be a hot day, but not bad here today, and people are clearly enjoying themselves. The heat is not worrying them at all today.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Tom Emery again, a little more about his historical perspective that he put together for Carlinville High School football, and maybe just a historical perspective of the South Central Conference itself. It's an interesting conference when you look back over the years of the teams that have been in it, how it's evolved over the years. But we'll do that on the other side of the break. You're listening to Sports Saturday on FM 106.
High school football this afternoon. Nokomis hosting Seneca. We'll have it live with the tailgate show at 1:30 here on FM 106. Stream online at WSMIRadio.com. And then we will have the broadcast of the Illini's first game of the year hosting Kent State. That'll follow our high school coverage at around 4:30 this afternoon on FM 106. Back to a grace-filled journey at Hillsborough High School. WSMI's Terry Tote, David Jenkins, and Tom Emery.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. And by the way, the Hillsborough Sotoma Club selling pork patties and chicken sandwiches. So
we hear they're some of the best
sandwiches. Well, you know, I don't think the Sotoma guys would lie.
No.
They're very honest people, you know, and they do a heck of a job here in Hillsborough.
That's right.
Raising money for all the and all the money that's raised is being donated to the cause here for research into INAD.
Just so. More part of the community involvement right
more,
there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tom Emery is with us today. We were talking about the unique history of the South Central Conference. Tom, when you go back to the very beginning, is Carlinville the only team that's been in the South Central from the get-go?
I believe Carlinville is the only team that's been continuously in the conference since it was incepted in 1926.
26, that far back. Now, if memory serves me right, and historically speaking, a lot of the teams were more to the east, right?
The conference actually moved west over the years because schools like Shelbyville were in that conference for many, many years. Litchfield, I believe, was in and then left and rejoined in 1980.
Right. Well, they were into the Mid-State Conference back then.
But that conference has really moved to the west. Gillespie was one of the early members, but when they opted out a couple years ago, that broke their string, as did Staunton for that matter.
Yeah.
But the history of that conference has really moved to the west.
And of course, I guess a lot of it has to do with schools with common opponents. I think where it is now, most everybody plays everybody in every sport, so it tends to make sense. But we forget about when conferences get realigned, it's all because of football.
And I tell you, it's just been musical conferences in recent years. You say you can't tell the roster without a scorecard. You really can't tell the conferences without a scorecard anymore. And certainly we've seen that in this area as well.
And so many schools are in a football conference, but maybe in a different conference for the other sports.
Right. When Northwestern had football, that was the same. What they did. A number of the schools in WIVC have been like that. You're seeing that more and more and more. And it's on the college level, it's just we don't even try anymore. None of us are smart enough to keep track of what the conferences are in college anymore.
Well, they're not even done either.
No, I mean, Maryland, Rutgers, and Big Ten. I'm not buying that one.
I agree with you. Tom, you've put together a historical perspective of Carlinville High School football from 1979 through 2014. How can people get their copy of it?
I'm taking reserve orders. They will be delivered after September 25th. They can call me at 710-8392. They can email me at enjoyhistorytoday@gmail.com. Y'all be able to remember that one, the way I feel about history. Enjoyhistorytoday@gmail.com. Or you can mail your payment for $10. I will deliver in the Carlinville city limits. Or if you want to have it mailed, just add another $1.50 for postage.
And if you didn't catch that, you can call me at the radio station, and I can pass along the information because I've got it there too. So
if Terry's answering the phone, he'll be happy to do it for you.
My gosh, that's right.
Like I say, when you're rock star in Montgomery County, you may have other things going on.
a croc star. You know, he's a croc, that's for sure.
Whatever you say, Terry.
By the way, this historical perspective, this is not just a regular season. This is the playoffs and everything, right?
Yes. Like I said, I list every score of every game from 1979 on, brief highlights of each season. It's almost impossible to do a complete highlight section, but I try to list the most important players, plays, games of each season, rosters of each player, and I try to keep it affordable. I hope that $10 is affordable for people, and I think, you know, that's what it is.
And I bet you had a blast doing this.
Yes, I love this type of stuff. You know, I'm an SID at heart, Terry. You know, to me, this is like doing a college media guide. So this was very easy for me. I mean, I could do this type of thing in my sleep, really.
And if you're a football fan of the South Central, and in particular Carlinville, you know, this is a must-have kind of thing. And Christmas is not very far away.
It makes a great gift.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
And like I say, I'll try to make your Christmas shopping easy for you folks. You know, this is something, you know, you say someone's got, what do you buy if the person has everything? Well, they won't have this, mainly because it's just new.
And you've done other historical perspectives off of the sports scene. I mean, when the fire that affected Carlinville High School,
1987.
Yeah,
September 13th, 1987.
Yeah, I mean, you were able to do a historical retrospective on that as well.
Dick Spohr, the former principal, approached me about doing that, and we created a project that would benefit the Carnival Public Schools Foundation with a 74-page booklet on the Carnival High School fire. I wrote that literally as one big news article because, as you know, I did a lot of newspaper writing as well. That was something that really took on life of its own in Carlinville in the fall of 2012. That was a fun project for everyone involved.
Well, and that, you know, when a building like that burns, I mean, it hurts the personality of the community. Mm-hmm. We thought it was going to hurt, but it didn't.
No,
the community rallied and said, "Hey, we'll just build our high school right back up." It did, you know, and it's another great example of the community coming together.
You know, and small towns like we all live in, like you, Dave, myself, all live in. High school is a very central part of the community, and Carnville's no exception. It really showed the community response, and that's something when I interview people that project, everyone to a person, remember the community response. As every single interview I did, mentioned that.
The one thing that. And I talk to, you know, broadcasters and other sports people around the state from time to time. We are so spoiled here. I mean, the ADs take care of us. The coaches take care of us. We have such a wonderful working relationship. You know, we're able to call the coaches on, you know, at the drop of a hat. We're at WSMI and our sportscast crew, we're so dang spoiled. We really are. We have such terrific people in the conference and in the listening area that deal with our kids on a daily basis.
Yeah, whenever I've done games with you, I can't get over how people take care of the radio crews, the media that are there.
Some of the best in the state.
And being a media person kind of at heart, you know.
Sure.
My work at Northwestern, I was kind of a self-appointed media relations person. So it's like going back to it, but most people know I was the SID at Blackburn for a number of years. I've been on both sides a little bit. You can really tell it.
Yeah. This is Sports Saturday. We're coming to you from a grace-filled journey in Hillsboro, where racers and walkers are raising funds for research into INAD to help our good friend, the Herschelman family. At this time, we're going to change gears again. We're going to talk football as Coach Pat Rentz of the Litchfield Purple Panthers has joined us. And, Pat, so good for you to join us here this morning and a terrific matchup against a terrific football game last night with the Gillespie Miners.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Good
Thanks
morning.
For having me on.
Tell us a little bit about the game and the ebb and flow of the matchup last night with the Gillespie Miners.
Sure, it was a pretty tight match. I think, you know, they ended up pulling away, scored a late touchdown, ended up winning by two touchdowns, but it was kind of a knockdown drag out fight there throughout the first half and went into halftime tied and then even into the fourth quarter. You know, both teams were able to get some good things going, and then you know, of course, from our side in the second half, we just couldn't finish off the drive. You know, we were moving the ball well and got some big stops on defense too. Just couldn't seem to put those points on the board in the second half.
And Pat, of course, you obviously would have liked for your defense to play better on that drive, but at some point, you just got to tip your cap to Gillespie for the 99-yard drive because you don't see that very often in high school football.
No, that was. I mean, and we've talked about that, you know, this morning even already. You know, there were a couple big momentum swings. One would be we scored late in the second half to go up 14-7, and then they marched down pretty quick and scored before half. You know, I thought that was a big, big game changer. And then that 99-yard drive that Gillespie had, you know, again, like you said, hats off to them. That was a huge momentum swing.
That was so Don DeBrino-like, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. That was.
I mean, that's just
get these guys off the field.
Yeah. You know, he's just like, geez, we've seen this before from Coach DeBrino's teams. You know, handed off three yards in a cloud of dust. So.
Yeah.
Nothing too unusual there. But you did have some bright spots, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and the kind of the message that we're at right now is, you know, we have shown that we can move the ball. We've shown that we can stop people. What we have not shown yet, and what our challenge is we have to be more consistent for four quarters. We have to be more consistent through the entirety of a series. You know, we gave up some big third and long conversions where, you know, we're so close to getting the offense, their offense off the field, our defense off the field, you know, and change of possession, and then we give up a conversion. Or offensively, you were moving the ball, and then all of a sudden stall out. You know, so we just got to get more consistent, and we're coaching them up and watching film, and boys are ready to get back to it this week.
And obviously, the record doesn't show it being 0-2, but you're off to what I would say one of the best starts that Litchfield has in a while, because you guys haven't trailed for more than 14 points all in the two games this season, and that's really impressive.
You know, and that's an excellent point. We have been competitive. You know, the stinky side of that is it still doesn't feel good.
I mean, you hate
losing, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the guys are giving it all they have out there, and they're competing. We're in games. We just got to keep getting better and find ways to put ourselves in a position at the end of the game to pull ahead.
And a lot of times, Pat, you know, the coaching staff, you're constantly, you know, building up these players, and once they learn that you take that final step that's necessary, then they look back and say, well, gee, this is what we should have been doing all the time. Well, we understand what you're trying to say, but it's getting them to take that final step, that final effort, to finish things off, and that's easier said than done, obviously.
No, I totally agree. We've told the boys. Our guys have been practicing hard. They've been doing really well at practice, and now it's trying to get them to transfer that to the field. I mean, they, like you said, once it clicks and they can get out there on Friday night and execute and be consistent, you know, I think the light bulb will go off. Say, all right, we can do this. So,
Coach, you're running into a Southwestern team that's coming off quite a huge high right now. What do you got to do to bring them back down a little bit?
Yeah, you know, we haven't seen film yet on them. We'll have to get that exchange going here this weekend. But, I mean, yeah, anytime you're going to face a team with momentum, and, boy, they're going to have it Friday, you know, we got to come out and execute. We have to do our jobs individually, you know, not try to do too much. They're going to be coming out, you know, firing and – you know, I mean that for Southwestern, but that's true, I think, for all the South Central teams. Yeah. I mean, every team you face, you know, on Friday night, they're going to give you everything they have, and so we just have to be ready week in and week out to be at our best on Friday night.
Doesn't make any difference what week it is. If your head's not in the game, they're gonna kill you. they're gonna cream you, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
You got to have your head in the game and be ready to go. Pat, how did you come through the ball game last night as far as anybody dinged up a little bit or everything okay? What's the situation there?
You know what, injury-wise, we're pretty good. We got a little, you know, of course, got some bumps and bruises. We're still fighting cramps late in the second half.
Well, next Friday they're saying a high of 77 degrees, so I don't think that's probably much to worry about.
I hope not. You know, we'll be thrilled when we can kind of work those cramps out of our rotation there in the second half. So, yeah.
And you know, there's just no explaining cramps sometimes. Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't, and it's not that you've not prepared, because you have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of a part of the game, especially early in the season. I think you kind of you push the boys and you work all summer, but competing on Friday night for a full game, of course we don't go live contact all throughout summer or even at practice all week. There's restrictions there and rightfully so. So you have to almost work yourself into that full game shape of full contact, full speed for a whole game.
Talking with Pat Rentz, the head coach of the Purple Panthers. They've got Southwestern next week. Pat, thanks for joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We always appreciate you spending a few minutes with us, and good luck against the Birds next week.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. Have a great weekend.
All right, Pat Rentz, the head coach of the Purple Panthers of Litchfield.
Extra time on WSMI Sports Saturday. Right back to it with Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. Tom Emery is still with us. Dave Jenkins had to take an exit stage left, and we are broadcasting live from the Grace-Filled Journey in Hillsboro, the fundraiser for INAD Research and our good friends, the Herschelmans, and research into INAD, and of course, all that money goes to Washington University in St. Louis for INAD research.
And what a great cause, Terry.
It's a terrific cause. We're guesstimating. They were planning for 400 people. We think there were about 1,000 people participating.
Oh,
in the
I think easy.
Walk.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But Sports Saturday continues, and we have a chance to catch up with our good friend Don DeBrino, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. And Don, thanks for spending a few minutes with us here this morning. Congratulations on a win last night over the Litchfield Purple Panthers, but it's never easy, is it?
Thank you very much. Kids did a good job, especially the second half, and Litchfield had a nice ball club. They ran the ball real well on us. We were able to get out of there.
Don, when you prepare for a team like Litchfield, and Litchfield record-wise hasn't had the success that they've wanted. They've done some positive things, and things are improving there. But you always have to prepare as if the team was 1-0 or 2-0 instead of 0-1 or 0-2.
Oh, yeah. You don't take anybody for granted, I'll say, in this game in high school. You got to be ready for every ball game. I don't care what the record is. We weren't ready the first half, I didn't think. I think we kind of wore them down the second half. It really helped us.
When you say you weren't ready the first half, was it just a sloppy play, some penalties? What was
yeah.
it?
Well, yes, but last week, you know, the kids were so high, and because, you know, of last year getting that first win, and then I think we just didn't seem to get up like we did the first ball game, and I told the kids that every game's an important part, and you take them one at a time. So I hope we learn from that game, really.
And it even goes beyond that, Don. I think you know every play is a potential big play in high school football when you only play 9 games a season.
Right, exactly. You can't take anything off, any down you can't take off, because all it takes is a little breakaway and they're in the end zone against you. So we got some things to take care of, but I'm proud for the kids that they stayed in there and came out on top.
And Coach, the winning drive ends up being a 99-yard drive. As a head coach, what goes through your mind when you're watching your kids literally go the entire length of the field?
I didn't realize until after the ball game that the ball that was down on the 1-yard line, and then we changed the quarters and kind of lost, you know, where we were. And then I heard in radio this morning, I said, 99 yards. And we ate a lot of clock up there, which really helped, you know, because you can never take anything for granted in a ball game like that.
When it comes to preparing for a team like Litchfield, Don, you always have to be thinking, I think, in the back of your head, you know, these guys are so close to breaking out. We really have to be on top of our game and be prepared for most anything against a team like Litchfield.
Yeah, they run this beer, you know, that's a nice offense. And, you know, if you haven't seen one before, it's hard to prepare for them, you know. I think after playing them, I think we're going to do a little different job against people that run the beer again. And that fullback is a ton, and the quarterback, number 8, really came out. We knew he was a good athlete, but he did a real fine job of running the offense. So
Up next for the Gillespie Miners, looks like to be the Pena Panthers. Panthers last night defeated Roxana 27-6, and really, I guess no surprise for anybody that Pena's off to a great start this year.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, after some of those scores last night, it looks like you know what's going to happen in this conference, really. I can't believe Greenville, I know they can put on points, but Northwestern comes in, they score 97 points between them. I mean, they...
Well, and Don, you've been around obviously long enough coaching football and around sports, but this just reiterates, man, you just don't know what's going to happen, especially when you're dealing with kids.
Right. You know, I think early in the year, I think probably a little ahead of the defense, but it seems like it's proven that. So, I mean, we got a lot of work to do. I'm excited for the kids. That's what it's all about. So, just take one game at a time.
And our good buddy Dave Kane did a very nice article about the Gillespie program and mentioned the fact that a lot of your former players are now assisting you. That's got to be very very near and dear to you.
Oh, yeah. It's very exciting to have them, you know, especially when they come in the coach's room and they start talking about some of the things that happened while they were players.
And I bet
I don't remember that happening.
I was going to say, you probably either don't remember or they didn't tell you about some of that stuff.
Right. I know they didn't do it in front of me. I know.
Well, Don, thanks for spending a few minutes with you. We wish you the best of luck. The head coach of the Gillespie Miners, the dean of coaches of the area, Mr. Don DeBrino. Thanks, Don. Take care, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.